You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander. Or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
Welcome to the Move the Sticks podcast. I am Bucky Brooks, but I have someone that I'm dying to talk to because I wake up and I turn on the phone and I look up and Twitter is going abuzz. And I have one of my favorite NFL Network reporters, James Palmer, on. And James, how you doing?
I'm good, Buck. I'm good. Listen, I've been wanting to jump on with you guys like for an eternity. Maybe I should just pick up the phone and ask you to come on. But I was like quietly waiting, you know, like I'm stoked, man. I'm here doing Good Morning Football all week. And so I get a chance to talk longer than 45 seconds. And now I get another opportunity to do it. So I'm
you know what? Like that is one of the things that is great about one, you talk about Good Morning Football, but two, when you get a chance to go on a podcast, you get to empty out the notebook and get out everything that you want to say. And you get an opportunity to do it without someone saying rap in your ear. Like
Irv's gotta make a point. Rap.
Yeah. So this is funny. So let's just have this be like a empty the James Palmer notebook. And so I want to start on what I found out today. Like, so I open up Twitter and Twitter's a buzz because of something that you said about Jesse Bates and the Cincinnati Bengals. For those who don't know, the deadline to get the franchise tag, the guys signed to a long-term deal, was Friday. And so Jesse Bates, I guess they said that maybe they were a couple million, $4 million apart on a deal, couldn't get it done. And so you went on Good Morning Football and you dropped a little nugget on Bates. So let's you restate what you said on Good Morning Football.
I'm begging for time here. Now I got it. I think after Joe Burrow, Jesse Bates is the most important player to the Cincinnati Bengals. And the reasons for that are this. First off, I had them on Good Morning Football play Joe's quote about Jesse and the importance that in Joe Burrow's mind he has to the team, not just a great player on the field, but he's like off the field, what he does for our locker room and what he does for our team is second to none. I think, you know, Buck, like you don't get to the Super Bowl without guys like that in your locker room, without making sure things are held together. The importance that Joe also pointed out, and I do like that Cincinnati has
in the early portion of his career come to him and ask him. He doesn't make a call, but they at least include him in the conversation of, hey, look at this player, you know, when they're getting into draft. Like, what do you think? At least he has a say. In some sense, they listen to him, whether he, you know, it moves the meter at all, who knows, but at least he's included. And he said, you know, remember, Jesse's been through the really low points of our organization. And in his mind, Joe, let's reward the guy who has been through it, been a great player when we weren't a great team, and now he was a huge part of us getting there. The reason I believe all of that is kind of, you know, good faith and good for your locker room and all of that sense. But to me, what this defense does with Lou Anarumo, and I was with them throughout the postseason and I was on them for the Super Bowl, is they change week to week so much. They change within games so much. The AFC Championship game is the perfect example that everybody talks about, what they did in the second half in adjusting for Patrick Mahomes, a game I was at. And Jesse made the key play in overtime and to win that game for the interception. So what he has done is he's the leader of that communication. He's the one who holds that together. He's a big part of making sure everybody's where they need to be. And they have, I love the way before we were talking, they have a try hard defense. That's a perfect way to put it, as you put it. But they have, I don't want to say holes, but they're not uber talented everywhere. And when your safeties are really good and play together as well as him and Von Bell do, that is, I think, the most important part of the way this defense operates, specifically in the AFC with all of these quarterbacks that can go down the field, with all of these weapons going down the field. I remember talking to Jesse before they were playing the Chargers, and he was like, communication this week's going to be on another level, how much I got to talk to everybody with Keenan Allen and all these guys going downfield. I got to be talking more than I ever do. The point of that is, if that's being told to me over and over again, and you lose that, and you did draft the safety, but you lose that caliber of player, not just skill-wise and what he can do, rangy, 10 picks in 4 years, two of them in this last postseason, like all of what he does in terms of commanding the defense is so important to how they play, because they need to make opportune plays. They need to be in the right spot at the right time to make a big play, because they're not uber talented as an entire unit. And I think that's my point, because – you know, Ja'Marr Chase, great player, great player. I actually on the show on Monday picked him to be, you know, we had to pick somebody who we think could make a jump to be in the conversation to be the best receiver in football. I think he has the ability to do that in year two already. But you still have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. Like, I'm looking at who you can't replace. You can't replace Joe, obviously, and I don't think you can replace Jesse.
You know, it's funny because the free safety position has gotten a bad rep. It's only been of late that we've seen safeties begin to get paid like marquee playmakers. And I think the reason why they don't get enough attention is because I don't know if a lot of people really understand what they do. And so the conversation has always been, oh, let's just put the slow corner in the middle of the field and he'll do it. But really, on your best defenses, that safety is a linchpin. He is the coach on the field, because everyone talks about, hey, man, let's talk about the middle linebacker. The middle linebacker controls everything he does. And he does do that. But the free safety is the guy that kind of choreographs and coordinates all of the movement. And, hey, if we get this look, we're going to check to this coverage. If we get this, we're going to play a different coverage. Here's how I'm going to take and protect the post. And here's the adjustment we need to make. And if he's really good and really on it, like you talk about Bates, he is able to see, hey, when they motion to this, here's what's about to happen. And he's able to tell the corner, hey, play hard on this and I got you over the top. So you can go hard on that. All of these little nuances that great safeties do that, look, man, they cover up the flaws of those people. And when you talk about Cincinnati being a try-hard defense, I would give them credit because, man, they play hard. They play really smart and they're really sound. But I think one of the things that Jesse Bates is able to do is he's able to maybe cover up for some of the mistakes or maybe some of the deficiencies that they have in the back end. So let's say, for instance, that, hey, it's a hard game for Eli Apple. He has a matchup that, look, he's not favored to win. So if I'm Bates, I may tell the other side, hey, Cheeto, I'm leaning towards Eli. So you're on your own. Like those little things that the safety has to do to control it. So to your point, a rookie doesn't have enough experience and expertise to be able to come in the back end and make those subtle adjustments. Not necessarily that come out of the playbook, but things that, hey, man, I know that Eli may struggle this week against him. So, hey, I'm going to have something in my back pocket just in case we get into the game. We need to jump into it, and I can tell the coach and go through it. that's where his value is. Make sure the offense goes the way it's supposed to, the defense goes the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah. And but with that, like, I like your take on it because you play, but like, I've always heard certain guys like that that go, hey, they get you two steps in the right direction before the ball snap. And the advantage that that gives a guy that is either maybe, you know, not the quickest of corner or inexperienced a player. And when you have guys that are in your secondary that are helping you get to where you need to go, maybe a step or two quicker, that's unbelievably valuable. And I usually see fans don't notice it until that guy's gone. And then the next year you go, man, well, this guy had a better year last year. And I've talked to a number of guys that have played the position in corners that have been like, once we lost it, like we lost our little cheat code, like our little advantage. You know what I mean?
I'll give you an example, and I will give you this without even knowing what took place in LA last year. Mm-hmm. I believe that Eric Weddle's addition is a reason why the Rams won the Super Bowl. Okay. Because I think in the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, I think Eric Weddle got the green dot. I think he had the communication device. Mm-hmm. Okay, so keep in mind, Eric Weddle went from being on the couch to wearing the green dot in less than 6 weeks. And to me, when I watched the Rams for most of the year, there were always issues because Jalen was taking on more responsibility, but he would get increasingly frustrated when they would have bust and like coverage mishaps, and it didn't appear that everyone was on the same page. And I remember distinctly there was a game in which he and Taylor Rapp maybe get into it because there was a miscommunication on a play. Mm-hmm. When Eric Weddle comes in, one, Jalen Ramsey can't have those same hard, testy conversations because Eric Weddle is as accomplished as they come as a safety. So the conversation that they have is a conversation, not an argument. Secondly, someone in the back end has to be able to take everybody and say, here's how we're going to play. We're going to play this. Eric Weddle could tell Jalen Ramsey, no. This is what we get. This look, this is what we're playing. I'm making that check. And he has to comply. And it's the little things that I would say, not necessarily an elite player at safety does, but an elite mind at safety is able to do that keeps it all together. And so when we talk about Jesse Bates, it will be interesting if the Bengals have to play without him. I think it's going to be interesting in Kansas City without Honey Badger because Honey Badger got a lot of things corrected or whatever. And Justin Reed is a great player.
I like Justin a lot.
Who has been in that system for a long time, I'll say this, and it won't put him on blast, but David Mary, their secondary coach, is my former high school teammate. And he used to send me pictures of Honey Badger at the practice facility on the field, ahead of everybody, getting things right, making sure everyone's on the same page. The leadership and the communication part, you cannot underestimate from the safety position. That's why it's so key.
You can't. I remember when they lost Tyron to a concussion. I think it was towards the end of the regular season. It was early in the game because they had him back for the playoffs. Yeah. So I was talking to Anthony Hitchens a few days after, who's right there running everything in the middle of the defense as well. And he was like, we literally have a ton of things we can't run unless Tyron's on the field. Like we can't run our defense without him on the field. And so you're talking about the importance that he has to that Kansas City Chiefs defense, like the ability he has to hide things, to line up in a certain spot, to just set up something else because he still gives you that threat because of his skill set as a blitzer. And he comes closer to line. You got to start looking over here, but they're really setting something else up. Those things can't happen if it's not him that's creeping up to the line of scrimmage or if it's not him that's playing that position. I'm curious to see what's going to happen in Kansas City with that group because I talked to him a lot through that year because remember this past year, I can't remember what week it was. I was in Washington when they played I think they were the Washington football team still then, right?
Yeah.
I believe. And they were on pace to be the worst defense in the history of football. They were giving up more yards per play than any team in the history of football. That was like week 5 or 6 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we talked after the game, and he was like, he had lost it. I mean, lost his mind during that game. Threw his helmet across the entire sideline. I saw it going crazy at Spags, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, afterwards, I pull him aside. I'm like, dude, are you at Spags? Are you ready to go for blows? He's like, no, man, like, I see what we can do, and we're not doing it. Fast forward to the end of the year, and I'm not giving all this to Tyron. I'm giving a lot of this to Spags. He deserves it, and the whole group deserves it. But, like, he was so frustrated because he sees everything and they weren't doing it and they weren't doing it at all. And then fast forward, they start playing better and they start seeing it. And he is constantly on everybody. So I'm curious to see what it'll be like on that side of the ball for them. Because he does, and that's the whole point of this conversation, safeties do so much more for a defense. If you talk to them or talk to people like Hitch, was like, we cannot run half of what we run. And it was impossible. And they lost the game.
They lost games, and it's a key loss. And I just think about how he is going to help New Orleans so much by going down there, right? Like, mm-hmm. Yes, they lose Marcus Williams, but now you bring in – oh, they also lost Malcolm Jenkins.
Malcolm Jenkins, yep.
And so Malcolm Jenkins, who might have been a less of a player in terms of his athleticism or whatever, yes. But what he lacked in athleticism, he made up in smarts, in guile, in anticipation and instincts, all from playing the game. Well, now you get another older player there who has pelts on the wall, who understands the game at a high level. You put him back there with Chris Richard, and they can talk the same talk and get mm-hmm. everybody on the same page. I think it's invaluable. But I want to lean on your experience in Kansas City, because I want to hear your take on the Tyreek Hill being gone and how mm-hmm. that impacts the offense. Based on how you see it and what you've heard from in the locker room, what is your take on, the Kansas City Chiefs' life after Tyreek Hill?
It's funny because I do think, and this isn't a slight to Kansas City Chiefs fans, but those people are delusional to the point that, like, once Patrick Mahomes came along, you can't say anything negative about the team. Everything will be fine. He will find a way to take us to the Super Bowl again. And I get why they're thinking that, because they've been virtually unstoppable since he became the starter. So I do understand the thinking. But you can't lose Tyreek Hill and be better as an offense. I just don't think that's possible. When I've talked to so many defensive coordinators, I remember having a conversation with Vic Fangio about it, and Vic has been around for an eternity. And he's like, preparing for him is unlike preparing for any player I've ever had to in my career. There's no comp for what he does on a field. And so I do think it's going to be very different. I remember when Pat was going through some of his interception struggles, which I think some landed on him, some landed on the adjustments that defenses had made. I had a long talk with Kurt Warner about it. Kurt obviously knows quarterback play better than I do. That's why I called him. And it's like these tight window throws he had to make, you know, these small area spots that he was trying to get the ball to Tyreek in, and a little behind, goes off a shoulder pad, and it's picked. We saw how many of those, in the early part of last year. When but the way Tyreek makes some of Pat's throws, as Kurt put it, like they both make each other better. I mean, the strengths mm-hmm. of both of them mesh really well with one another. I don't think Tyreek, and he can say that Tua is accurate until the cows come home, but when he's running down the far sideline and the only quarterback in the game that can throw it from the opposite sideline across the field to him, he's not going to get that ball because he doesn't play with that quarterback anymore. And Pat doesn't have to be accurate with that throw, right? He knows that Tyreek's going to run to the open space, and Pat's unbelievable arm can just get it to that open space, and the two of them play well with one another. It's been interesting how it's gone. I know there's some hurt feelings. I know that it did not end beautifully between both sides. You can get the sense of that from Tyreek saying, like, I want the pill more. I want the ball more. Like, he had more targets than anybody in the history of the Chiefs organization last year. Yeah. Like, you got plenty of targets. There's something else bothering you, right? And I know clearly from talking to enough people in the locker room, every practice, and you know this too, but every practice was, how do we find more ways to get Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill the football? That was the goal. Yeah. Every single practice of every single week. What does this defense do? Both those guys can do a variety of things. How do we find new, unique ways to get these guys the football? So for Tyreek to say, like, I need more of an effort towards me, the whole system was designed to him and Travis and finding ways to get them the football. So you can tell that it didn't end beautifully between both sides. I will give Brett Veach some credit about, all right, this isn't going to work out. Let's get a haul for it and let's move on sooner rather than later. And let's flip the switch to the second era of, if you will, of Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And I think they did make the right play in that sense. I don't think you're better immediately, but I think we have to start seeing Pat play in a different way. And I think he's totally possible and totally capable of doing it. He has a variety of guys. We can get into some of them because I know Justin Watson's turning some heads there, from what I'm told. And obviously they bring in Sky Moore and Juju and MVS, and they have options, but it's going to be an adjustment. It's going to be a change, and it's going to be interesting. That's one of the early camps I want to get to see how it's flowing.
So it's funny because having known Coach Reed for so long, we were together in the Packers in the mid 90s. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that I think some of his confidence and maybe some of the quiet confidence that the organization has in terms of being able to move on without Tyreek Hill, it might come from the fact that Andy Reid watched Brett Favre have to adjust to life without Sterling Sharp, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you go all the way back, Sterling Sharp was a big part of Brett Favre's development. Those first couple of years, Sterling Sharp may have been getting 100-plus catches back at a time when no one was catching 100 balls.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what happened is Sterling gets hurt, so they remove him from the lineup. And so now you have all these other guys. But then you have this generational talent in Brett Favre who then had to learn how to basically play half-court basketball after being a fast-break guy. And so he had to learn the system and really learn all parts of the system. Hey, my first, my second, my third. Oh, here's my check down. And what it actually made Brett Favre do is it made him play quarterback and it made him a better quarterback. Because right after that, he won three straight MVPs. And at the time, it was the first time it had ever been done. He won three in a row and he was magical. And so because of that, I think that experience sticks in his mind because I remember back then, Coach Holmgren, who learned it from Coach Walsh, and those guys, they love players, but they always said, system and an A-level quarterback will still be okay. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at what they've assembled, MVS, Juju Smith-Schuster, some of the other guys, and still Travis Kelce. In my mind, I'm saying, okay, it won't be the explosive version, but it will be. Remember when everyone was playing cover two against them early?
Yeah. Yeah, just put your safeties on the goal line.
Go back and forth. And not last year, but the year before when, because I remember when they ran the ball down the Buffalo Bills' throats and the Buffalo Bills had parked the safeties in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Like, you can have as much as you want. And so it took a while, but then Pat became very efficient and then they eventually made their way to the Super Bowl. I think what Coach Reed is going to do is he's going to put a lot on Pat to be like, hey, Tyreek is not there. So those splashy, broken plays that we would hit these big bombs on, that's out. So now you got to play within the system and let the system work. And I think what we may get is maybe not an offense that's more explosive, but maybe it's more efficient because they put an onus on quick rhythm passing game. Hey, let's use the screen game. Let's get the ball to our backs. Let's utilize all of the weapons. And if we get in a jam, Travis Kelce is the centerpiece. But we're going to try and spread it out and diversify it. And maybe it looks a little different, but they end up getting the same results.
It's interesting you bring that up because I was thinking the whole time you were going through that Favre thing, I'm going, I remember Andy saying this past year, the most growth that I've seen Pat have was, and the best that I've seen him play was not the MVP season. It's when he had to keep changing his game and he had to keep finding different ways to win. When one team started taking away those deep shots and started taking away those explosive plays, and he had to play more on time, more in the pocket, more make my drop, I'm here, and ball's out, and we're working our way down the field. That's when Andy started saying he's added this to his game. That means the splashy plays aren't gone. They're still in his arsenal. Yeah. He can still do them when they present themselves. And now he's adding these things to his game. And I think that's where that lines up with what you're saying, right?
Yeah, because I think what Andy's going to do is, are you going to have to be more disciplined from the pocket now? Like, I'm not going to take that away from you, but I'm going to ask you to play more on schedule. And if you play on schedule, those plays are naturally happen for you where you fall into the big play as opposed to, I feel like Pat for so long was big play hunting. Like when he has Travis and those guys, like they could just break off the play on their own. He reverses field, goes deep, I'm a thwart. And they would have those things. But sometimes it's the gift and the curse because you feed off of that. You want it. And so then sometimes this offense would sputter and stall because they're big play hunting as opposed to, hey, man, we're just going, I'm going to chase the completions like Drew Brees and all these other guys. But if he adds that to his game, then he becomes unstoppable. Yes. Because then he becomes the guy that, oh, I can beat you however you want me to beat you. I can dink and dunk, or I can slice you over the top. It'd just be interesting. I'm not saying that they would be a better offense, but if Pat Mahomes
grows, it'll be different. There'll be a different offense. Yeah.
It'll be a different offense that can really, really challenge you and kind of get at you a different way.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
But I kind of want to jump from this to, because in a weird way, I'm curious about how this could work for Russell Wilson in Denver. See, because Nathaniel Hackett comes from dealing with Aaron Rodgers, who went from being off the script to now, as he gets older, he has to be a little more on the script. And I wonder, what is he going to do with Russell? Because as Russell ages, I feel like he's at that point where he needs to be a little more disciplined and detailed, as opposed to being the Russell playmaker that we saw for so long in Seattle. What have you seen from those guys?
That's the biggest thing. And I had, during OTAs, maybe a half-hour conversation with Josh Johnson. And I'm like, dude, you're on – first, you're on team number 15. And that's an NFL record.
Who does that?
Right? And so, Ashley, but it's I love that we're talking about this, because the first part of the conversation, I wanted to get at this, and because it was right after Fitz had retired. And I find this, and we're talking about the mode of this podcast, essentially, is underappreciated spots, like the safety spot. I think that skill is remarkable. I think the ability to walk into a building, and Josh tell me, he's like, dude, like I would try out in the morning and then be on the practice field in the afternoon. Like, to be able to do at the quarterback position, to be able to do that is an unbelievable skill. Like, because first, you can't get through practice if your quarterback doesn't know what he's doing. Like, you can't get through. Yes. So like you're hurting everybody if you can't learn it real quick. And you can't, at first I'm like, how do you learn everybody's name? He's like, dude, in all honesty, Madden. I as soon as I find out I'm landing with a new team, because it's been like a week to week thing sometimes with him, he's like, I jump on Madden. Madden's updated roster is ridiculous. And I know I'd start to learn every guy from, I know his name and his number from Madden on my way to that team. And I was like, are you kidding?
That's unbelievable.
Right? It's nuts. But like, I was, you know, that ability to relate with guys very quickly and do all of those adjustments. I think it's a crazy skill. I think it's why so many people that love football go, how does this guy have a job? Like, he's never been the guy. Why does he always keep finding jobs with different teams? And I'm like, because it's hard to do. It's hard to be a Fitz or be a Josh Johns or be like, I mean, you're not the guy, but you help the organization. You find a job because you know these systems. So the point of this is he's been in like every system. He knows offenses. And I'm like, what do you love about Hackett's system for the way it's getting put together for him and Russ? He's like, it is my favorite system that I've been a part of. Because obviously every system, he said, wants to find answers, right? That's always what you know. You have answers to everything. Mm-hmm. He goes, but in this, Russ can make a mistake and still have answers. A lot of them are you have answers if the defense adjusts, or if you're in this and the defense adjusts, well, then I still have an answer here. He goes, Russ can literally make a mistake and then still have an answer within the way him and Hackett are putting this together. And I was like, okay. He's like, there's multiple ones on each play. Like there's ways to find different answers within it. It's not all going to be big plays, but you're going to find different answers. And then he said, the way that we're working with this, he's like, the room is, he's like, dude, we'll go in with a plan in our early meeting before any of the meetings start. And it's Hackett and it's Kubiak and it's them in there. And he goes, we'll go on a 30-minute tangent on something we had no idea we were going to talk about that day. And Russ and Nathaniel are like, something comes up and boom, we're not stopping until we figure this thing out. And what can we do? And he's like, it'll go for 30 minutes, like in the meeting before we get into our next meeting. I'm like, he's like, so I'll just tell you this. He's like, the way it's being put together, obviously it's like cliche because everybody knows it. It's being put for his strengths. We all know that every system is played to their quarterback's strengths. But it is with a specific thought in mind from Hackett. And I had a chance to talk to him about that and the way he did it. I'm more like, if you want to look at what he did with Aaron, that's cool. I look at what he did with Blake Bortles in Jacksonville.
That is the one.
That's what stands out to me.
That is the one. So obviously I spent a lot of time with the Jaguars, and to a man down there in the building, they loved Nathaniel Hackett and what he was able to do. And they talked about the miracle worker that he was in terms of Blake Bortles and how he made the game very, very easy for him. And I've heard Nathaniel Hackett's best qualities are his relatability to his players, particularly the quarterback, and his ability to make complex simple for the quarterback. Yes. And that he was able to do that for Blake Bortles. Now, what's funny is I played for his dad in Kansas City, and his dad's offense appeared to have some complexity to it.
By the way, his dad's there almost every day.
Oh, I mean,
that is on the sideline. Yeah.
I mean, look, he gets to live the dream. So his dad was a quarterback coach in Kansas City when I was there. And so, look, man, great reverence for him. But for Nathaniel, I think it's interesting. And I think the part that I'm really curious is when you have an older quarterback in Russell who has a desire, in my estimation, to be recognized amongst the greats, right? Because he still has what I call little brother Russell phenomenon, right?
I think that's why he came to the division.
Yeah.
I think that's why he one of the reasons that played into it.
He won a Super Bowl, but everyone still says, yeah, you won it, but it was the defense. And so now he wants an opportunity to show people like, no. I am a high-end quarterback, and you're going to put respect on my name. And so now I'm going to go to Denver, and I'm going to see if I can do it. I have this young core wide receivers that look, I have to get up to speed to do some of the stuff. I got running backs, Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams and the offensive line. So how can they do it? The one thing that I worry about when it comes to Russell is sometimes players can hurt themselves by trying to maybe do something that they're not necessarily built for. So Russell has been good in the pocket, but Russ has always been at his best on the move. At 33, he's not the same kind of athlete that he once was. So how can they use the illusion of Russell being the A-level athlete to set him up for success in the passing game? To me, that's where Nathaniel has to come in. That, hey, we'll do some of these bootlegs, some of these rolls, some of the things that we've seen the Rams do off play action and that stuff, and kind of bake that into the game plan. But it's going to be a fascinating watch because that division is loaded with quarterback play. And Russell is going to have to play as either the best or the second best quarterback for this team to make the playoff push that they want to make.
When I talked to him after his opening press conference and him and I were up in the field house talking, and that was one of the things that I wanted to talk to him. I was like, I understand, young team, really good defense. Like, but why, like, this division is insane. And he's like, that's why. Like, he wants to do exactly what you're saying. He wants, when it's like the movie The Natural, you know, when he walked down the street, I want them to say, there goes the greatest player that ever lived. Like, he wants with Roy Hobbs, right? He wants to add to that. Well, if I get out of this division and win a Super Bowl and I beat out Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, and Justin Herbert, and I got out of the AFC West and I went to the postseason, I went, like, that's a legacy builder right there. That's a yes, you are one of the greatest of all time. And I think that drives him. I think that motivates him. What I do like about them, and I look at what the Raiders have and Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, and Davante Adams, and I'm like, that's just filthy. Like, those are your options, Derek Carr. That's bonkers. I don't think the Broncos have that caliber of receiver, but I think 1 through 4 or even 1 through 5 is so – there's not a lot of drop-off, right? He has developed a remarkable relationship early with Tim Patrick. Like that, like if you talk to people in the building, they're like, dude, he has an eye for Tim Patrick. You would say, well, he's got to be going to Cortland Sutton, right? He's got to be going to Jerry Jeudy, right? Like, that's the third option that he has, and he's developing a great chemistry. What my point of this is, Nathaniel Hackett's setting it up for options. In there's not a drop off when you put 4 receivers on the field, I like your opinion, Bucky, because they love this tight end kid they got, the Dulwich kid. From UCLA. Shortest shorts in the game right now. He's out there more or less.
Long hair.
Yeah, he's short, got the long hair. The hair's almost matching where, you know, it's almost like he's got no pants on out there. But like, that's the point. Like, to circle back, that's the point that Josh is saying. Like, listen, he's always going to have an option. And if your third receiver is as good as Tim Patrick is, he might be the best number 3 in football. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to capitalize. We're going to find our matchups. But I do think they have a major issue at right tackle to figure out. That's going to be a camp battle for sure. And this offensive line is having to change not only the way they play. Guys like Dalton Risner and stuff have changed their bodies because they know this system. I'm going to be on the move more, right? I'm going to have to be more athletic. So it's a big adjustment for that group up front. And so I'll just say this. Expectations living in Denver are through the roof. Like, it is like, we just won the Stanley Cup. We're about to win a Super Bowl. And I'm like, listen.
It's tough, man. It's tough. And I've tried to pump the brakes without being a hater. But, man, it's a hard division. Because when I look at the division from top to bottom, Kansas City has won, the last 6 in a row in the division. And then you have the Chargers, who made major moves to get Khalil Mack to go opposite Joey Bosa. They get J.C. Jackson to be able to cover. They have their own superstar quarterback in Justin Herbert, who is just waiting to pop in a major way. Yeah. You have the Raiders, as we talked about with Derek Carr and the weapons that they've afforded him, and Josh McDaniels, who just absolutely knows. Look, man, I'm not a betting man, but if I could go to Vegas, I would almost bet you that Hunter Renfrow is going to finish with 100 catches. I don't know how he's going to do it with Davante Adams or whatever, but I just know that Hunter Renfrow is going to do all the Wes Welker, all the Julian Edelman, all the stuff that has been done for years and years on end in the slot, he's going to wear people out. And I'm just
Don't you think, Buck, that they both can play in the slot is an advantage, not a disadvantage, for the way Josh McDaniels works?
Oh, I absolutely believe it's crazy. I believe it's almost one of those things where they can break out the huddle and just mix and match and just line up wherever. And the versatility that they have is crazy. And then because of this, telepathic connection that Davante Adams and Derek Carr have, where they can just finish each other's sentence and they can bring back some of that stuff from Fresno. How do you guard the unscripted stuff? How do you guard them just running option routes? Like, hey, just run off and you just get open and I'll read your body language.
And he has that with Hunter too. He like, I remember talking to Renfro like towards the end of the year last year. And he's like, man, we'll be hanging out at Derek's house and we'll like have the kids in the backyard and a Nerf ball and I'll be three steps in and I'm going to do this. And he already is throwing the ball over. Like, we just feel it. Like, and so he has that with both of his guys. That's
silly. Yeah. It's really silly. And so that's why I did bring it back to the Broncos. Hey, man, this is going to be a rock'em sock'em robot division, and it's going to be tough. And look, Russell, this will have to be the best play that we've seen from Russell in his career for the Broncos to realize the dreams and aspirations that they're having in the Rocky Mountain region right now.
Yes.
He's going to have to, he's going to have to play at an MVP level. And if he plays like that, he will win his first MVP. But he is going to have to play at that level for this team to get to where they want to go.
Well, Russ ain't helping. He just put on his cleats for camp. There's a Lombardi trophy on the back of the heel, and it said, it's coming. I'm like, man, he's not tapering.
Well, look, man, you know what? So here's the thing. Like, between Russell putting his cleats out and his wife putting the picture on Twitter yesterday with the red bottoms, I mean, there are huge expectations that are going on there because it's bananas. I can't let you go without at least touching on and talking about like Philadelphia, because I know the Eagles are close to your heart and Jalen Hurts and all that.
You like to rip me on it. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, look, it's a little homer. I appreciate it though, because I've always said this, like, I've always wished that I could be like a fan sometimes, like where you live and die and you kind of ride or die with your team. I know you feel like that about the Buckeyes. I feel like that about the Tar Heels, but it's different when you have a vested interest. So I kid you about the Philadelphia thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But look, as much as you talk about the enthusiasm and all that other stuff that's going on in Denver, what is being said? Like when Miles Sanders said, oh, we have an all-star team. Like,
hey, man, remember who said that? Remember who said that in Philly a few years ago?
Like, why would you say that? No, but what do you think about all the stuff that they've done? Because I do expect them to be better. It's just crazy what the expectations are going to be, though.
Me and M-Rob were having this talk, and I totally want your take, because the more I've thought about this, the more I have realized how difficult it is to be a general manager, how difficult it is to be a GM in Howie Roseman's shoes when you have a quarterback like Jalen Hurts. You know why? Because he is always going to win games in the NFL. I think Jalen Hurts, no matter what his career is going to be, he could be a backup in 5 years. But if he comes in and your starter goes down for five games, I think he gives you a very good chance to win those five games. He's just a winner. He wins games. My point is he a franchise quarterback in that top group? Can he? Obviously, we know he's not that right now. Can he in several years get to that? The problem, if you're Howie Roseman, is this guy's going to win me 9 games. This guy's going to win me 10 games. We're going to get to the postseason each year. Do I stick with that or do I move on? But that's the hard part. It's almost better. We were joking. It's like almost better if Jalen fell on his face this year.
Yeah,
because they would know, right?
Yeah, one or the other. He has to either be MVP or whatever. So I've said this. And
being in the middle is tough in the NFL. Being in the middle is very tough.
I've said this since Jalen came out. And I actually said this to a prominent Cowboy scout. When I looked at Jalen Hurts going into his last year at Oklahoma, I was like, man, he reminds me of Dak Prescott so much. The build, the way that he plays, the ruggedness, whatever. I was like, he reminds me of watching Dak Prescott when he was at Mississippi State, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think people gave Dak Prescott enough respect and admiration for what he did at Now when you look at that Mississippi State team, the fact that they were number one in the country at one point with him at quarterback, like, was crazy. But it's very similar. And I felt like with Dak and with Jalen, their best qualities are the qualities that the people in the stands cannot see. The way that the team gravitates to them, the way that their leadership ability is through the roof, the way that they just kind of have a way of, look, man, they put it all on them shoulders, good, bad, or indifferent. They own it. And everybody in the building is like, man, that is like an A-level leader.
Yes.
And so because of that, everybody follows. And then when you look at their games, you're like, yeah, it's not polished. You wish you could have a little more this or that. Mm-hmm. But then you look up, they're in the winner's circle. I think for Jalen, his game has to mature like I felt like Dax matured in Dallas. Whereas mm-hmm. before, it felt like Dak Prescott was a little sidecar. It was Ezekiel Elliott. It was the offensive line. It was their show. And then the year before he got hurt, I felt like mm-hmm. he was beginning to be, hey, man, Dak Prescott is doing a lot. Look at the numbers. Look at how it's changing. Then the year that he got hurt, he was on a torrid pace before he got hurt.
Yeah.
I feel like Jalen Hurts doesn't need to necessarily show the football world that he is an A-level passer. He just needs to be good enough to go mm-hmm. with the other stuff that he does to make it like, man, I know we want something better, but it's hard to move on from someone who checks off so many boxes, intangibles, leadership, winning. I mean, it's a hard spot to be in if you're Howie Roseman.
It is, and it's so funny you said that because I did his pro day at Oklahoma, and there was a lot of people in the league that left that pro day going, eesh, like, I didn't love what I saw. But they are well aware of the makeup you're talking about. And the number of players I talked to that were there, like, dude's an unbelievable leader. We'll follow him anywhere. He never stops working. I have now fallen into, like, following Jalen Hurts. I think that's what's happened because I was like, I don't see it. Like, I talked to a lot of people that were like, I don't see it, man. Like, the mechanics, the passing side of it, we know we can win. We know we can move. Now I'm starting to turn because he's winning me over the way he won over the locker room. Like it's you know he's going to get better. That's one aspect of it because just the way he's wired and the way he works. And Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman do know that. And they do believe that he came out of the work he did in California. Footwork was better. Release was better. Mm-hmm. Obviously, both those things help with his accuracy. Again, it's on air. It's not like, you know, they were getting a chance to see everything, but they did see something in terms of improvement. This is going to be the first time he is in the same offensive system with the same guy in his ear for 2 years in a row since high school. I mean, that's a big, big thing for him. And they did make life easier on him with A.J. Yeah. Brown. I think A.J. Brown also, which was this is an interesting part of it. Philly, a big part of getting A.J. was taking some stress off of Devontae Smith in year two. How often do we see year two for a receiver, right, Buck, that like they have that first year? I mean, he almost had 1,000 yards. They had, and then all of a sudden, this all extra attention's on you. You got extra, another guy shading over, and you're like, oh, man, this receiver thing is much harder than I thought. You see that slump. They wanted to bring AJ in so that would help Devontae and not stunt any sort of growth for him. And I think it will. And then you have Dallas Goedert, like, who I think is unbelievably underrated tight end in this league. And so you have those three pieces and a really, really good offensive line and a run game that was number one in football a season ago. I'm curious to see how they set it up for him. Cause right. We saw two different offenses. We saw them throw the ball a bunch early. Mm-hmm. They got to know, in my opinion, got to know Jalen and got to know this offense and started focusing more on the run. And what happened when they focused on the run more, he became a better passer because he clears up the picture for him a little bit, which he needed. Right. And so it's going to be interesting how they set it up for him, because I do think there's easy plays to be made with what's around him. They do know his decision making needs to improve. I know that firsthand. They need his processing to speed up some. Now, Nick is a big believer in the more snaps he has, the more reps he has in the system, that will speed up. That can speed up. And Buck, you know, there is a thought process where this is how you process, and you will get a little faster, but there's a ceiling on it, right? Yeah. I mean, there's deep processors like young guys like Mac Jones that process very quickly, and then there's guys that they do think he'll get better. So those are the things they're wishful thinking for. On defense, they need to find a way to get after the quarterback, and they couldn't do that last year, and they made some moves to improve, because I will say this: they do believe they're renting Jonathan Gannon. They think he is going to be gone after this year in a head coaching job somewhere. That is the belief.
So it's funny. So the whole thing about Gannon, so Gannon is a disciple of Matt Eberflus, and I love what Eberflus did in Indianapolis. Like, we talk about, like, try hard defenses. Like, it's a lot of simplicity, but we're going to win with great effort, toughness. We're going to knock the ball out because we know exactly what we're doing, and we're going to get there with our hair on fire. And so there's some of that. But to play that style, you got to be able to dictate the terms up front with your front four. And so they have to be able to create a pass rush without blitzing so they can play the zone and get the eyes on the quarterback and do those things. Because when they played top quarterbacks last year, they couldn't get them out of their rhythm. And so can they do something to do that? And now, do they have the right pieces, meaning on the perimeter, hey, I need zone corners to play zone so they can take the ball away and react. And they got to be great tacklers and those things. But if you can run the football and shorten the game, then what happens is it forces the other team to abandon the run. And now they have to throw into coverage, which is what the Eagles want. It worked for them last year, but now it has to work where they not only beat the teams that they're supposed to beat, they have to knock off a few others. And that typically goes back to the guy that we talked about, Jalen Hurts, making enough plays in the passing game for them to be able to get over the top.
That's a big part. And I think the best thing, the best description of that defensive side of the ball, Bucky, is if you remember the beginning of the year, there were some guys not too pleased with the way things were being run on that side of the ball. Fletcher Cox was very vocal, very vocal about what was happening. But I think it's the sign of a really good coach that everybody, that you stick with it, you keep preaching what you're preaching, and they eventually figured out what he was trying to do, and they bought in, and the defense got better. I do think they were missing some pieces in terms of getting after that. I think Hassan Reddick was a decent pickup. I'm interested to see in camp. Hopefully it's one of my stops early. I'm hearing that they may be putting Jordan Davis in a variety of spots. And I want to see what they do with him up front, because I do think they believe there is an ability to be a little bit flexible with him. When you have other guys there, right? You have Fletch, you have Hargrave, you can move him around a little bit because they don't want to miss out on that athletic ability. They think of him much more than just to eat up two blockers and stuff to run in the middle of the defense. We'll see. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
It will be interesting. And guess what, James? Like, training camp is this week. Like, it's crazy, but it's on. And I don't know when you travel out or when you head out. Like, when is your first camp? Is it this weekend, or will you have to wait?
No, I'm going to be in Denver the first like 5 days, which I want to see, because circle back to that. I'll say this. I went to every full practice they allowed me to go to during OTAs, and the defense was winning consistently. I mean, consistently. But as Kareem Jackson told me, he's like, we're playing in the same system. Like, it's a few words are different, right? We're playing exactly what we were playing. Couple minor changes. We're right back at it. And listen, they were beating Russ regularly. So I want to see what the first part of camp is like with the offense coming out. Obviously, he wants to come out gangbuster, so we'll see.
We'll see. Well, man, and look, this was fun. We got to bring you back, man. You got
to
bring back.
I'd love to. I mean, DJ missed out. Was he on a cruise or something?
I mean, look, it's always something. But look, he'll be back. He'll be back coming up. But this was great, man. Thanks so much for joining the podcast, James. We got to do it
again. Yeah, Buck. This is what I listen to, man. I'll tell you that. You can quote me.
All right, guys. So that's it for the Mood to Sticks podcast. Be sure to tune in later in the week. We'll have some more podcasts dropping. Talk to you guys soon.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids. No plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota bZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl goes shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.